thank you so much. What an amazing place to be. People have been worshipping here for over 1,000 years. Now, I have taken on a church in Salford, as Simon said. It's apparently very political that I call it Salford and not Manchester, even though nobody really knows where Salford is. It's in Manchester. It's a little bit like living in the city of Westminster and people getting upset because you say that you live in London. So it's very much a city in its own right, Salford, but it's very much part of Greater Manchester. And I don't know if you're familiar with some of the churches that are being planted into city centres. It's something that our Archbishop Justin Welby is really keen to encourage. And there's now a bishop in London, Bishop Rick Thorpe, who is supporting these church plants. And in conversation with him, with Bishop Rick, as Lizzie, my wife, and I had planted a church into Stockport, into a deprived housing estate in Stockport 6 years ago, we were thinking, well, we've done that now. You know, the church is planted and it's thriving and growing and there's leaders who can take it on. What are we going to do next? And so the conversation was, would we think about starting one of these city centre resource churches? The idea being that we build a church in the centre of a city which gathers people from across the whole of the city, not necessarily just within our parish, but all across the city, in order that we can be an encouragement and a resource to churches across the city themselves, that maybe we can send out and plant other churches. I'm getting into my talk already, but there we go. That's what we've done. That's why we've moved to Salford, so that we can begin this journey of establishing a new worshipping community in a church that has already been established. For us, we feel like it's quite old. It's 200 years old. But it's a baby in comparison to gathering here. So when we meet together and worship together, similar to here, we have different traditions of worship. There were about 20 or 30 people there who continue to worship using common worship. So right now, there's worship happening at St. Philip's using common worship for those who've, that they call that home. That's been their journey for the last, some of them for 80 years. One of the ladies I was talking to last week remembers being in the war. They used to use the crypt as a place to hide from the bombs, and she remembers the evening that the bomb went off and killed the curate as it exploded outside the hospital next door where he was visiting the sick and was standing outside for a smoke. So there you go, don't smoke. That's lesson number one. But here in this reading that we had today, Peter, Jesus' craziest follower, Jesus' most enthusiastic follower, the one who perhaps overcommitted more than any and underdelivered more than any, Peter, to whom was given the keys of the kingdom, directly quotes Jesus in this reading as he's writing to the people that he's encouraging, the church there. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So Peter quotes this. He's saying, let people see what it is that you do. Let your light shine. Remembering the words that he heard Jesus say back in the Sermon on the Mount and encouraging the church again, let your light shine. And it's this passage that gave us this verse, which we're trying to encourage our people with. Present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life. I love that. It's from the Message version of the Bible. And the thing about St. Philip's, where we are in Salford, is that it had become all about the building. How are we going to save the building? All the other buildings in Salford have been converted into apartments. How do we make sure that this doesn't happen to this beautiful building as well? And so Lizzie and I, as we began this journey, thinking about how do we build not just a great building, but how do we build a sanctuary that's vibrant with life? Well, I think the clue is here, that it's how we present ourselves. It's how we present our lives to God. And very briefly, I wanted to tell you some of the story and some of the vision of what it is that we're trying to do, and then hopefully encourage you in what it is that you're trying to do. But our vision statement on the next slide talks about us wanting to love and serve Jesus, each other, Greater Manchester and beyond. You notice it's Greater Manchester, not just Manchester. So, you know, there's 10 boroughs and 2 cities. And so we want to be a blessing. How do we do that? Well, it's by doing 3 things: loving and serving Jesus. It all starts with our worship and our life with him. Gathering together to worship, but also developing those patterns of life that you're talking about during Lent of praying. How do we invest in our own personal lives of prayer so that we are trying to be present to Christ, not just when we get, not just living lives of worship when we get together on a Sunday morning at church, but when we're in our homes and when we're in our offices and when we're with our families and when we're on with the neighbours in the street and our different places where we meet people socially and for work. Our worship is at the heart of everything that we do. If it's not centred on Jesus, then it's just another social club. And for us, it's a very cold social club because our heating doesn't work very much. So why would people come? If it's not about Jesus, if it's not about the transforming power of his love, or we just become another service provider. We can help people with food parcels and we can be nice to people. But if it's not about Jesus, then we're missing the fount of life itself. So the offering of our lives is to point people to Jesus. So we're loving and serving Jesus. Then we're loving and serving each other. It's about community. We need each other. I loved that testimony, Ray. Thank you for sharing that. How powerful. We need one another to encourage one another. You can do it. Keep going. Don't give up. We read it all through the scriptures. Don't give up. So growing and developing those meaningful relationships with one another to support each other and to challenge each other. We know what you're going through because Peter described these sinful desires that war against our souls. They're not passive. This life that we're living to follow Jesus, it's not easy. We know that. And it's like a battle to fight against these things that are coming against us and surprise us. It's why I love the confession. These things that in thought and word and deed, we let the Lord down. We don't even know where they come from some of the times. We need one another to remember that Jesus loves us and has forgiven us and given us all that we need for life and faith and goodness. So it's for Jesus. It's our worship. It's our community. It's with each other. And then it's for Greater Manchester and beyond. So here's a little map of Greater Manchester. That big orange circle is the M60. It's the ring road that's basically a parking lot, a little bit like the M25, but on a smaller scale. And then you've got St Philip's right there in the centre of Manchester. And the next screen will show you where we are. So if you see, there's central Manchester here and just on the edge. Frankly, the Church of England did an appalling job of placing church buildings into an industrial city as it grew. So there are very, very few church buildings in the centre of Manchester. There's 2. There's a cathedral and there's St Anne's Church, which is just by that B where it says business. And so St Philip's is just outside the inner ring road, the A57, there as you can see, but it's right next to Salford University. And it's along this street called Chapel Street, which is developing. And there's a redevelopment happening where, as you can see, 21,000 new homes are being built in my parish in the next 15 years. 21,000 new homes. Now, I know that 10,000 homes are coming to Whitney, but we've got 2,000. Okay. But 21,000 in my parish, mainly because it's all brown industrial site that's being redeveloped. And because Salford is developing a strategy to try and draw out some of the wealth from Manchester city centre along into Salford to give people some jobs and opportunity. And so our job is then to try and be a bridge between these different places. We've got Media City that's obviously developed 10 years or so ago. Thousands of people live there. And yet it's like a lockdown community. That people go in there and it's got to be a safe place to live because Salford wasn't a great place to live 10 years ago. So it needs to be safe. So there's people living there. There's an arts community just around the corner from us. And I heard something on the a documentary I was watching that estate agents always follow artists. Did you know, if you're an estate agent, you probably know that already. But look out where the artists are for and then buy property there. Because the artists lead the way in redevelopment. And then we've got a business and retail on in the city centre. And then Salford University right next door, 75% of the population are under 30 in Greater Manchester. And yet, of a population of 2.5 million people in Greater Manchester, 25,000 people go to worship in an Anglican church each Sunday. That's 1%. And very few of them are from the millennial generation. Most of them are 60 or above. And I could blast you with stats, but I don't necessarily want to. What I do want to say is that's the opportunity. That's the thing that we've been invited to do. Can we start a vibrant worshiping community that will reach out and begin to see the good news of Jesus come to this age group? You see, the Talking Jesus report by the Barna Group last year demonstrated that against what we might commonly believe, they analysed Christian faith and attitudes of people. It was an amazing study. It showed that the 25 to 34s group had a higher proportion of practicing Christians than the 35s to 64s. How do we connect with that? How do we connect with the fact that people aren't turned off by faith? They might be turned off by church or what they think of as church, but they're not turned off by Jesus. So very quickly, here's a photo of St. Philip's. It's massive. It was built for 1,800 people, so being here is very amusing. It's very quaint and gorgeous to be here, but it feels tiny compared to our church. It was built as a garrison church, and it's the sister church of St. Mary's Bryanston Square. So if you've been to London, if you've been to that church, John Peter's Church in London, it's the exact same church. And this is inside. It looks a little bit different because they had a season of being very high Anglican. You can't really see much of that entrapment. But there's Chris, our curate leading worship. This is on our launch service, so there's Bishop David Walker, Bishop of Manchester there. So you can see the galleries, and it looks very beautiful unless you look closely. So let's move on quickly. It's a stunning building. We've got the staff team that we've been funded a little bit by New Wine, a little bit by the church commissioners, which has allowed us to pull together a staff team. Those of you who've been around New Wine a little will recognise perhaps Chris Sabin, who's my curate. He's led worship a number of times and is now the head of worship for New Wine. And Rick Otto over here is the head of children's ministry for New Wine. I've got an operations manager who works half-time, and then Lizzie is our student worker who works also part-time. So that's the team that we've put together to try and establish this worshipping community. And we've had some people gather with us. Our five-year goals that we set for ourselves is to have two new worshipping congregations totaling 500 people. There were, as I said, 20 or 30. Well, can we take that to 500? That's the dream. That's the prayer. We want 80% of them in small groups and missional communities so that we're trying to see not just stuff happen on a Sunday, but actually us living our lives together and missionally. We want to have planted our first church. The difference between a missional community and a church plant is that a church plant is something that's sent out with a leader and perhaps with some money and some gifts. We hope it goes really well. God bless you. We're behind you. Give us a call and let us know how it's going. A missional community is much more like, let's send you out to do some mission because God's clearly moving with you, but let's help and do as much as we can. Let's sort out the finances for you. Let's sort out the kids' work if you need it. Let's be a much greater resource to you. So there's a distinction there between a missional community and a church plant. But we want to have sent out and planted our first church within the first 5 years. And then in 2025, we're going to celebrate our bicentenary of our building. And we need a couple of million pounds to redevelop the church and dig out the crypt and open that up as office space and recording studios and places where people can work from, and we can do community activities there and outreach. And Lizzie, my wife, who you'll meet probably just before the next service, who's here with our kids today, she's doing community connections so that we can work with the various food banks and places. And I'm rattling on and I've run out of time. But maybe just go back to the picture of the brick. That's what we encourage people to do, to come join, serve and give. But I wanted to tell you about a couple of people. I wanted to tell you about the guy, and I won't use the names because they've not given me permission to tell their story. But the guy who's about 18, 19, who turned up to church on Christmas Day because he had nowhere else to go and didn't have a family to go to be with. because he's been rejected by his family, and turned up to church on Christmas Day. And has since started Alpha and comes to worship every week. We had him around for lunch and heard some of his story. And the level of pain and rejection that some of these young people are living with is astonishing. And then we've got someone who's almost twice his age on my table at Alpha, who's come to Alpha because suddenly his daughter is of an age that she's asking difficult questions that he doesn't know the answers to. So he's wondering how to answer questions about life after death and things like that. And being right in the center of the city allows us to open wide our doors to anyone and say, you're welcome to come and discover the good news of Jesus. I wanted to tell you about the rector 100 years ago who had established safe houses for women and groups for small young boys and girls so that they could grow in the faith. And he baptized hundreds of people. And this thriving church life that was at reaching out to the local community, reaching out to the wider city. He wrote an article in the Guardian newspaper every week. He was nationally known. He was a chaplain to the king. That's the heritage upon which we are building. And the phrase that I got this morning as I was praying for you and as I was praying for us is to unblock the wells. Because that's what we're trying to do at St. Philip's, is unblock the wells of what this guy did, of see that kind of stuff happen. And talking with Simon about what's happening here, that 1,000 years ago, some monks came. How crazy is that? Would you like to leave France and go to rural Oxfordshire? No, thanks. And yet they did. And they came. And together, loving and serving Jesus, their worship, loving and serving each other, their community, and loving and serving greater Oxfordshire, they saw the Lord establish something that we are benefiting from even today. And so my invitation to you is, where do you need to present yourself afresh to Jesus? Is it in your worship? Is he calling you back to himself and say, remember what it's all about? Is he calling you to go deeper in relationship with other people, to be honest about the trials and tribulations of life and allow other people to speak encouragement and comfort and challenge into our own lives? Or is he saying, come on, it's time to step up and share your faith with those that you've known for many years, those that you knew, just got to know recently. Unblock the wells. Present yourself that we might develop a community, a sanctuary, vibrant with life. Can I pray? Lord, thank you so much that we stand on the shoulders of giants. And thank you for Peter, who even though he messed up so many times, he at least gave it his best shot and remembered your word, that we might do our good deeds, that we may shine with your glory and point people to you, Jesus. Capture our hearts afresh, Lord Jesus, we pray. Help us open our lives to one another, that we might grow in you. And encourage others too, that we might shine with those good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.